Normally, in the church's liturgical calendar, when we celebrate the feast day of the saint, it usually coincides with their death and their departure from this earth and their entry into eternal glory. In fact, there are only three occasions in the liturgical calendar where we celebrate the nativity or the birth of someone. One, of course, being Jesus, who we know is true God and true man, and therefore was immediately holy from all eternity. The second is the birth of Mary that we celebrate on September 8. And in Mary's case, because she had been conceived without sin, she too was born in holiness. And the third nativity that we celebrate is the one of today, of St. John the Baptist. And the reason for it being that in the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth, where we are recounted in the Gospel of Luke that John the Baptist leapt in the womb of Elizabeth with joy at hearing the greeting of Mary, that it was a sign already that John the Baptist had been sanctified in the womb of his mother, and his nativity was one of blessedness, of being born into sanctity. And also, as today's readings tell us, that John was born with a mission and with a very special purpose. In fact, that is one of the primary points of today's liturgy, that John is born into this world, and so therefore are we, with a very special mission to have his life centered on Christ and to be that last forerunner of all the prophets from the Old Testament who are going to be pointing toward Jesus as being the Messiah. And for that reason, John is really like the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the last of the prophets pointing to Jesus as the Messiah, as the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. I think when we look at the mission and life of John the Baptist, there's two central things that we would do well to focus on. The first is that John's mission and his life is entirely Christ-centered. As great as John is, and we read in Scripture, no one born of woman was greater than John the Baptist, as great as he is, his entire mission in life is lived out relative to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for that reason, we even hear John say, "I am not even fit to tie his sandals." And we also hear John say, "I must decrease and he must increase." And this is the second point, I think, from today's liturgy that we would do well to take with us, that as great as John is, he sees his mission in life to point to Christ, and therefore he also sees he needs to diminish more and more so that Christ can be radiated forth and shine all the more brightly, because he is the one true God and the one true Messiah. In fact, it's interesting and significant that even today's choice of liturgical date of June 24th, which more or less coincides with the summer solstice, it is at this time when the days are the brightest and the longest. And from this moment on, all the way until Christmas and the winter solstice, they will begin to diminish and decrease until in the darkness, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, is going to be born. And so as John's light is going to be decreasing, the true light of Christ will be born, and it's his light which is meant to radiate and shine throughout the ages and for all eternity. I think when we try to apply today's liturgy to our own life, we really can try to apply these same lessons, which would be, number one, to be able to say, I need to live my life with Jesus at the center and relative to him. And secondly, I need to engage in this process to say, I must decrease so that Christ can increase in my own life. Because each of us is tempted to live in a kind of self-centered way, to put ourselves at the center of our life as opposed to God and as opposed to Jesus. Now, on the one hand, it's true that we are at the center of our life in the sense that we are the only ones who can act on our own behalf, and we are the agents who are acting out in the world and making decisions for our own person. And in that sense, of course, we are at the center of it. But in terms of our motivations and our intentions of what is driving us to act and how we act, that is where we need to make the distinction. Am I acting entirely out of my own self-interest and my self-benefit, or am I acting for the love of Christ and for the love of neighbor? I suppose some of the questions to ask if we have ourselves at the center of life, then we'll tend to look at things probably in the following way and to say things like, well, what does my relationship with this person do for me? Or what benefit do I get from performing this activity? Or how can this serve my best interest? Or how can this serve my future security and my future prosperity? Anyway, all of those things are placing ourselves at the center of our life, as opposed to placing God at the center, whereby we more ask questions like, how can I live God's will today? How can I identify more and more my experiences of life with Jesus and interpret my life in the context of the life of Jesus Christ? And how can I love God and serve my neighbor more and more each day? That is kind of the basic difference between living entirely for oneself, for ego-centered purposes, and living for God-centered purposes. So as the irony and the paradox, which is really at the heart of the gospel, is simply the fact that it's only in giving our life away, it's only in losing our life that we find it. When we give ourselves for the love of Jesus Christ, it is precisely at that moment when we begin to experience the greatest amount of fulfillment and satisfaction in life. And the reason for that is because we were created for the love of God. And therefore, when we act in harmony with that love that has been revealed in Jesus, who gave himself completely for us that we might live, when we act in harmony with that, it only makes sense that we too then would experience the joy and fulfillment that comes from being perfected according to our human nature, according to the purposes that God created us with, and according